You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to 1 John 5. This is something we started last week, and I just want to continue with it. I don't want to just necessarily teach over those same verses, but maybe read over them real quick and talk about it. We talked about, of course, our faith is our victory. Our victory in life is our trust in God, our trust in His Word, not in what we feel, not in what we see, not in what's going on. There's always a lot going on in life. There's always opposing circumstances. There's always negative hurdles that we've got to jump and mountains we need to move, and life's a battle. We're not in heaven. Are you with me? There's always going to be setbacks and obstacles and detours in life, but you know what? You keep trusting God, you're going to get there and you're going to make it. You're going to win. Because we were born to win. That's what we were born to do. It means something to be a Christian. It means something to have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Obviously, it saves us, you know, from putting our trust and our faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. It puts us in a personal relationship with Him, the Creator and the Maker of all that is. I mean, come on. How could you expound or magnify that any more than it is? That's pretty much good as it gets. Amen. That we have a relationship with the Creator, the Maker of all that is. And He's not just a force or a power of mind. He's a person that, you know, wants to interact and love us and wants us to love Him. And He made that possible through Jesus. 2,000 years ago, He sent Jesus to die for our sins. And because of that, now we can be forgiven if we'll accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. If we'll put our trust in Him instead of ourselves. But when we do that, it's more than just going to heaven. Hallelujah. It's a whole new life. Right. It's a whole new, set of weapons, as it were. Set of, defense in life. Because life's a battle.
Amen.
Don't know if you realize or not, but they're shooting at us out there.
Yes.
There's a battle going on for your soul. There's a battle going on for your marriage. There's a battle going on for your health. There's a battle going on for your peace and your... You know, there's a constant battle going on in this life because we're not in heaven. This world is broken. It's fallen because of Adam's sin some 6,000 years ago. He sinned and messed the whole world up. The devil entered the world through sin. And we have an adversary who is the devil, not God. God's not your problem. He's not the one causing all the bad stuff to happen to you and all the tragedy and all the pain. And, you know, your car broke down. That wasn't God's fault. He didn't do that to make you a better person. Listen, I know people just drive beat up dog of cars. They ought to have the best character anybody ever seen in my life. I mean, they're having trouble after trouble. It doesn't make them any better. In fact, I know people, it makes them worse.
Amen.
I know people that are just constantly sick, constantly having problems. God's not doing that to make them better. I've never seen any improvement.
That's right.
Okay, that went over real big. God's not our problem. Are you with me?
Amen.
He told us who our problem was, and He said He was the devil. And sometimes it's us. And that's why we have the Bible, praise God. So we know how to fix that problem, how we can, you know, change some things, hallelujah. Take some advantage of the fact that we're Christians. I don't believe most people even realize, you know, what advantages and benefits we have as Christians. We're just kind of waiting on the trumpet to sound, you know, waiting on Jesus to come, and we're going to go to heaven one day. But He didn't just save us to take us to heaven. He saved us to serve Him, and now I have the ability to do so. I can love now where I couldn't love before. I can forgive where I couldn't forgive before.
Amen.
I can overcome sin where I couldn't before. Now, I'm not alone. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah.
That's right.
In fact, He says that right here in that fourth chapter, fourth verse. He says, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You have overcome them, little children, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So maybe you hadn't tapped into that. Maybe you hadn't realized that. Maybe you're still thinking it's up to you alone. And you do have a choice in the matter. But once you make the choice, you're not by yourself. God will help you.
That's right. Amen.
See, often we think, we can't do that. God says, do this, I can't do it. God says, love, I can't love. God says, forgive, I can't forgive. God says, overcome the sin, I just can't do that. Well, no, you can't do it by yourself, but you can do it with His help.
Yes, that's right.
And if you'll call on Him, He'll help you. Yeah. And if you ask Him, you know, he that asks, receives. He seeks, finds. He that knocks, the door will be open to him. It may take a little while. You've got to change some habits and your way of thinking, and you've got to discipline yourself and train yourself and... You know, you're not going to talk your way out of something you acted your way into. But you can change your actions. You can start talking the Word and start changing what you do. And you can overcome by your faith in God. your trust in Him. You know, you're not alone if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, if you've accepted Jesus. Then He says He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, "Lo, I'm with you to the ends of the earth." So, you know, you often hear people pray this, you know, in services they'll pray, "Oh, Lord, go with us when we go." Well, He's not going to stay here when you leave. We often pray that. And I understand that, and it's very religious and pious to say that, but honestly, when I leave, He leaves. He goes with me. When I get there, He gets there, because He's in me, never to leave me nor forsake me. Lo, He's with me even to the ends of the earth. And greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. So I really shouldn't be praying, "Lord, go with me when I go."
That's right.
I mean, He's not up there going, "Yeehaw, I've been wanting to go with you."
Amen.
I mean, He's in us, right? I mean, for Christians, if we accepted Jesus, He came in. And He knocked on the door. We opened the door. He came in. You know, that's what the Scripture says. So He's there. We're not alone. We can do this thing.
Yeah.
Cheer up. You say, "Well, I didn't know that." Well, that's okay. I mean, that's fine. There's a lot of things I didn't know. You know, a lot of things I don't know. That's why I get in the Word. That's why we preach. Amen. That's, you know, that's why we go to church. And, you know, because we're growing. We're learning.
Yeah.
But let's don't perish for a lack of knowledge.
Right.
Hosea 4:6 says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge."
Amen.
That's significant where He says that. He says, "My people." Not the world. He says, "My people perish." I believe you can be a Christian and live a totally defeated life. I really believe that. Because you don't know what privileges and benefits you have as a Christian, what it means to be a Christian. You've accepted Jesus. Your trust is in Jesus. You're going to heaven, thank God. But you just can't seem to overcome sin, can't seem to... See, there's some things you need to do. That's why the Bible talks about fellowship. That's why it talks about praying, talks about hanging around godly people. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight's in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. We're talking about Psalms 1 is what I'm quoting there. It says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper."
Right.
But now notice what led up to that. There are some things that person did. There was right fellowship as opposed to wrong fellowship. I was lost. There was a time I did not know Jesus. I've been in, used to do drugs and jails. I was in jails and lived that kind of life. And, you know, when I got saved, if I was ever going to grow, I had to quit hanging around those people. I love them and pray for them and, you know, want to minister to them, but I can't hang out with them. Because I'm not going to grow. I continue to be what I was if I continue to do what I did. And saved, accept Jesus, and just live a defeated life and never really become what God wants me to become. See, God has got plans for all of us. He wants us to become something better than we are. And if we realize who we are and what He's done in us in Christ Jesus and who we are now, we're not who we used to be. Man, I'll tell you what, the future is bright. It's so bright you've got to wear shades. I mean, He's got some great things for us. Maybe you live a defeated life. Maybe you come in defeated. I don't know. But I know this can be a change, a turning point. This can be a new day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to start with your faith. It's going to start where you put your trust. Are you trusting you or are you trusting God?
Amen.
If you trust God, it makes all the difference in the world.
Amen.
All the difference in the world.
Amen.
And that's what He's saying here. Notice the fifth chapter, the first five verses, what we ministered on last week. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. I believe Jesus is the Christ. How about you?
Amen.
All right. I'm born of God, and you're born of God by virtue of your faith in Christ. You're not going to be good enough to be saved, because nobody is good enough. But if you believe and you put your trust in Jesus Christ, if you believe He is the Christ, the Messiah, then the Bible says you're born of God. Hallelujah. I'm in another family. I'm actually somebody different than I used to be. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not even in the same family anymore. I'm in a whole new kingdom. And He says, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments." Now, this is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
We should keep the commandments of God. Not to be saved, but really as proof that we are saved. As evidence that we are saved. Keeping the commandments and loving God and loving people and praying for people and living right and living holy doesn't save us. But it's evidence that we are. It's a good sign that we are. Now, we don't have to. We can violate these things. We can. Are you with me? But why, when we have this power in us now we didn't have, when we have Him in us now we didn't have Him in us, when we can do it now whereas before we couldn't, why would we miss out on that and make our lives miserable and shoot ourselves in the foot? This is the way to live. Are you with me? Loving people is the best way to live. And now I can do it. I can do it. Third verse says, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous or burdensome. It's not hard. Don't buy the lie. It's just so hard to serve God. Well, you get around God's people and you make a habit of going to church, reading your Bible and praying, it won't be hard at all.
That's right.
Brother Osteen used to say this, my pastor, Joel Osteen's dad. He used to say this when people come down to be saved in the altar call, when he'd give an invitation. He'd give an invitation to every service. And people would come down and he'd say, let me give you a secret. Let me tell you how you can, a guaranteed way you can serve God and not have any problem serving God. You want to know how you can, you can serve God and not have any problem serving God at all? I mean, no problem at all? And of course everybody's going, yeah, I'd like to know. He says, well, you give Him all your free time, just like you gave the devil all your free time. You give Him all your weekends. You give Him all your...
Yes.
Hello. You spend all your free time with people that are serving God, like you did spending your time with people that weren't serving God before. Are you with me?
Amen.
You do that, you give Him all your free time, and you won't have any trouble serving God.
That's right.
See, we first make our habits, and our habits make us. But here we have the power, praise God. It's not hard to serve God. It's a change. It's different, absolutely. We've got to make new friends and start hanging around different people and start praying, new concept there, seeking God. And he says, fourth verse, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Who's born of God? Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Verse 1. Verse 4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. I was born to overcome the world. Hallelujah. Somebody, I found out why I was born. I was born again, born in Christ, born as a Christian, to overcome the world. I was not born again to be overcome by the world. I was born to overcome the world.
Yes.
And whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Well, whatsoever meaning me, and whatsoever meaning anything that... born from God, anything that's of God. In other words, if I pray God's word, do God's will, then that will overcome the world. Whatever's born of God, me and any prayer I pray that comes from God. Isn't that right? Anything I'm doing that's birthed out of the word, anything I'm doing that's in line with God. Whatsoever's born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. So I have to believe, I need to put faith behind what I'm doing. We're not just going through the motions here. This is not just some religion where we're just following rules. This is a way of living. It's our faith, our trust. I trust it works. I trust it pays. I'm not just doing it because God said it. That's enough, sure, but I'm doing it because He said it, because it works, because it's the best thing for me.
That's right.
God doesn't arbitrarily just say things. He doesn't just manipulate us and move us around. He tells us to love people because that's the best way to live.
Yeah.
He tells us to forgive because that's the way to really experience peace in life.
Yes.
And not lay awake all night with bitterness and hate and ruin yourself and stress yourself out and raise your blood pressure and die early. Mm. Think of how you're going to get back at him next time I see him.
Amen.
Start gritting your teeth and then you lay awake for 4 more hours in bed and can't go to sleep and wonder why you have insomnia. I can tell you, you need to repent, you old wicked thing. Just,
Amen.
Me too. I've been there. You ever been there? Come on now, we all been there. You're mad at somebody, and man, you just won't let it go. Get over it. Or you got offended, you got hurt, or somebody said something. Oh, goodness gracious. Get over yourself. We got over you a long time ago. Okay. Sure is quiet in here. I'm just trying to help you. You know I love you.
Amen.
I love you. And I'm not saying anything to you that I don't want to go through myself. But I'm supposed to overcome, and I'm supposed to love, and this is good. Hallelujah. It's good to serve God. It's good to keep His commandments. It's good for me. It's good for my family.
Amen.
Doing your old thing just doesn't work.
Yes.
Not considering other people doesn't work. I can show you broken marriages and a trail of bodies on that trail. Life after life, and you might be able to testify to that. I mean, many of us have done that, and just gone our own way. But man, I'm telling you what, that is not the way to live.
That's right.
hurt people, hurt lives. People living, you know, just messed up. We talk about dysfunctional. Well, dysfunctional comes from not doing what God says, not obeying God's word.
That's right.
And you have to work at it, you know, but hey, with us all together, we can do it. Amen.
Amen.
We can get better at it anyway. Hallelujah. Fifth verse says, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? He reiterates and repeats and makes sure we don't miss this point, that the person that overcomes the world is the person that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I don't know about you, but I believe Jesus is the Son of God.
Yes.
I do believe that. I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. I believe he was the one that was anointed by God to come into this world and save me from my sins.
Amen.
I have called on him, I have accepted him, and I pray in his name. I pray in Jesus' name. I do. I love Jesus. I worship him. You know, I fellowship with him. I believe in Jesus. Well, now, I'm not just going to heaven, but there's another privilege that comes with that. Because I am a believer in Jesus, I overcome the world. Man, it's a tough world out here. Yeah, but Jesus is tougher. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. Jesus is bigger than what you're going through. He really is. And I believe we are born in Christ, born again. When you were saved, you were born again. We were born to succeed.
That's right.
We're programmed to fail. Yeah, we've just been programmed to fail, see? We just think that's the way it is. It's got to be that way. Can't help it. Nothing we can do about it. Or we think it's the will of God, and it's not the will of God. We think it's fate. Listen, we're not Greeks. Nothing against Greece. I'm talking about Greek philosophy, Plato, Aristotle, you know, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. This is not Greek philosophy. Are you with me? Our theology shouldn't come from Western philosophy.
Amen.
Our theology ought to come from God's Word.
Yes.
And everything's not fated to be. Everything's not destined to be. And everything's not predetermined. Hallelujah. Thank God.
Amen.
If we'll do these things, we can change our destiny. We can change the path of our life. We can change the direction of our life. That's what repent means, to turn around. You can change. That's the call from heaven, is to change. Repent. Turn around. Quit going the way you're going. You can go another way. You keep going that way, you're not going to fulfill your destiny or your will or God's will for your life. What God wants for you doesn't always happen unless you agree with Him. You turn around, you come back, and you trust Him. The victory is not just something that happens. It happens when we believe. Faith is our victory.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
God wants us all to win and overcome and live in peace and have a peaceful, godly life. He says that. But that only comes as we trust Him. God wants everybody saved and going to heaven. But that only comes as we call on Him. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah.
Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. God wants no one to go to hell, and He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, the Bible says. It's not His will that they go there. It's not His plan they go there. It's not His... And what's going on in your life? Let me tell you something. What's going on in your life, a lot of times, it's a cop-out. We'll say this because we hear this religiously, that if bad things are happening to us, God's just doing something. No, He is not doing that. God has given us promise after promise after promise to get out of those things that we're in. He asks us to call on Him so we can overcome that. He tells us we were born to overcome. He didn't say, now go out there and the world is going to overcome you. It's going to beat you down. You're going to lose time and time again. You're going to fail. I'm telling you what, the world's bigger than I am, and not a thing in the world I can do about it. No, actually, He says that you overcome the world. Now, that's a right or a privilege, but it's something you've got to activate. It's something you've got to do something about. You've got to get in there and, okay, I'm going to start trusting and believing, because if faith is the victory, then I'm going to have to do something to make it happen.
That's right. Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
You know, sometimes we don't like this because it takes away our right to be a victim.
Yeah. Right.
It's easy to say, well, you know, it's just the way it is. You know, nothing I could do about it. It was beyond my control. I'm just a victim of circumstances. You know? How you doing? Pretty good under the circumstances. I love that one. Because really, we ought to be over the circumstances. We shouldn't be under the circumstances.
Right.
We ought to take authority over the circumstances. We ought to pray. That's what prayer is all about. You know, you pray to change things that are bad to things that are good. You pray when things are tragic so that something good will come, or peace will come, or healing will come, or deliverance will come. They don't pray in the Bible when things are going good for things bad to happen. They pray for good things to happen when bad things are happening. See, you don't change good things to bad by prayer. You change bad things to good by prayer, thus showing you and me that that's not God's will. God doesn't want it to be bad. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them lay hands on him, anointing him with oil, the name of the Lord. To pray of faith, save the sick, the Lord shall raise him up. If he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray ye one for another that you may be healed. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, oh, y'all are all healed? You need to pray that you would be sick. You need to ask God to make somebody sick. He didn't say, I'm the Lord that maketh thee sick. He said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Well, you got peace? Well, let's pray for depression. He didn't say thou will keep him in perfect depression whose mind has stayed on thee. Isaiah 26:3 says thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on thee. Hallelujah. Woo. So things are going bad in my life. Must be the will of God. Well, no, you need to come against that. You need to pray. You need to. That's what prayer's about. Amen. That's what faith's about. That's what being a child of God is about. Man, you're in a position now you've never been in before. You have an audience with God. He's your father now, and Jesus is your elder brother. And you have his name you can pray in, and you can make a difference. Hallelujah. You not only have eternal life, but you have the right to have your prayers answered. You have now the ability, through Christ now, we're not saying in of yourself, but through Christ you have the ability to make a difference. In fact, Philippians 4:13 says, through Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We got strength we never had. We got hope we never had. We got help we never had. But I believe it's still laying on the table in most of our lives. I believe most of us are not taking advantage of it. We hadn't picked it up and done anything with it. And as a result, we are Christians who name the name of Christ and live defeated lives. Many times we're overcome by sin. Many times we're overcome by circumstance or depression. You got to fight depression. You got to fight it. You can't let it take over your life. You got to come against it in the name of Jesus. You got to sit there and pray and believe God and stand on the word. You get confused and fearful. You got to fight fear. You got to fight confusion. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You got to learn to quote that one and start claiming that one and say, no, this fear, this is not God. This confusion is not God. This fear is not from God. God's not the author of confusion.
That's right.
1 Corinthians 14 tells us that. God is not the author of confusion. So, I mean, we live in confusing times, but we don't have a confusing God.
That's right.
We have a God of order. God who does not change in that respect. He is always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He is always on your side. He is crazy about you. He's crazy about you. Wanting you to come. Wanting you to call. Wanting you to pray. He's not, you know, maybe if you just pray long enough, knock on the door loud enough, maybe he'll come and answer. No. God is leaning over the throne with his hand over his ear waiting for you to pray. He is anticipating your prayer. He's wanting you. It's his will. He called you to pray. He asked you to pray. We're not conning God into doing something when we pray. We're accepting what he already offered when we pray.
Amen.
You know, when I taught on that series, The Name of Jesus, I think we get the idea sometimes when we pray in Jesus' name that we're asking God permission when we use the name of Jesus. Actually, according to the Scripture, we're not asking God permission when we use his name. We're exercising the authority he gave us when we use his name. He told us to ask in the name of Jesus, the authority of Jesus' name. That gives us the right. So we think that when we say in Jesus' name, we're asking for... Well, actually, he's given that to us to use. In other words, don't take this wrong. We're not making God do anything. God gave that to us to use. We're just taking advantage of what he already permitted us to do.
Yeah, that's right.
He already authorized us in prayer to do this. God's not in a box. I'm not pulling levers and pushing buttons and making him move. He's not in the box. We're the ones in the box. When I pray and start believing God, you know what I do? I'm stepping out of the box.
Yeah.
the box of nothing I can do in my life, nothing I can do about this situation. I'm so powerless. I'm just a victim. No, step out of that box. You're a child of God. You're born of God if you believe Jesus is the Christ, and you were born to overcome.
That's right. That's right.
This world's not supposed to dominate you and overcome you. You're supposed to overcome it.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen every single time. You know, you're going to have to work at it. You're going to fall and stand back up, but get back up.
Yeah.
I like that. Who is that? John Wayne said that. He said, I'm never down. He said, I'm either up or I'm getting up.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty good. I'm either up or I'm getting up. And so that's the way, the righteous man may fall seven times, but he rises again, is what Proverbs says. You may have failed, but you're not a failure.
That's right.
Don't internalize that.
That's right.
You may have sinned, but you're not a sinner, you're a saint. Repent of your sin. Get back on your feet. Are you born again?
Yes.
You're not a sinner. You're a saint.
That's right.
He made us saints. He made us righteous. You don't even have your own righteousness. You have His righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
We have the righteousness which comes through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not even righteous. We don't even have our own righteousness. We have His righteousness. Do we have it or do we not have it?
Yes.
The Bible says we have it. If we don't have it, we're not going to heaven. We're going to heaven because of what Jesus did and because of His righteousness, and He did make us righteous. Hallelujah. And Paul never wrote to the sinners. No, none of the epistles do you find Paul writing. That's amazing to me. You know, I know I'm just talking here, but it's good stuff nonetheless. We're having a fireside chat. It's not even cold outside. But you ever notice that he wrote to the Galatians, he said he didn't write to the sinners at Galatia or to the sinners at Rome. Never one time did he do that. Over and over he says to the saints at Rome, to the saints at Ephesus, to the saints. Were they special? Well, they were in God's eyes because they knew Jesus as Lord and Savior, like we all are. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're not an old sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner, but now you're a saint. You say, well, I still sin. Well, that's right. You need to repent of that. You should not be doing that. You're a saint. That's what we're teaching them. Well, I just got mad today, right? That could have happened. You may have got bitter. Maybe you did something bad. You know what? You need to repent of that because that's not who you are anymore. Don't be a hypocrite now. See, we think the hypocrite is those old sinners going to the church. No, the hypocrite is those old saints going out there sinning.
That's right. Yeah.
We're hypocrites because we're living in a manner we're not supposed to be living. We've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten what manner of man we are. We're saints. We're born of God. We're supposed to overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith.
Right.
Woohoo!
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's move on down a little further here. Man, I'm getting something out of this. This is good.
Amen.
Notice what it says here in the... Well, he talks about the testimony. I know I'm saved because I got the witness in myself here. Notice what it says in the 11th verse. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Hallelujah. I love that. You know, God's not offering life outside of Jesus because it's not outside of Jesus. It's only in Jesus. I like to say it that way. You know, He's not offering you strength outside of Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Strength doesn't come outside of Jesus. Life doesn't come outside of Jesus. I want peace, but I don't want Jesus. I'm sorry. Peace is in Jesus. See, oftentimes we'll want what God offers outside of Jesus, but God's not offering anything outside of Jesus. God's not making a lot of offers, if you don't know the truth. He's just offering us one thing. One thing. I like that. It's not complicated. Praise God. You can't be too smart to get this, but you can't be too dumb to get it.
Yeah.
It's really simple. There's one thing God's offering here, and that is Jesus. But here's the good news. Everything you need is in Him.
That's right.
The strength you need, the life you need, the peace you need, it's in Jesus. So when you get Him, you get everything. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. Listen to this. And this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life. Now he didn't turn around and say He has life, has the Son. He said He has the Son, has life. Because it's all in Him. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's just not possible because eternal life is in Jesus. You've got to have Him to have it. You want this victory he's talking about here? Got to have Jesus. Well, who has the victory? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Man, I'm not only going to heaven. I got the victory.
That's right. Amen.
It may not look like it. May not feel like it. But you can change the color of that blue Monday.
Amen.
You can. You can do it. You need to just start walking in it and start saying, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. I'm a born-again child of God. I've got the victory. I'm born to overcome this. I'm not born to lose and be defeated and go under. This is not my destiny. This is not the will of God for me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray your word today, and I just thank you for your promises today, and I thank you that I will overcome this in Jesus' name. I have overcome this because I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. And I'm not going to accept this. I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to pray this thing will change. And I'm going to believe you in Jesus' name that it will change. Because you said so. And this is what I'm here for, is to make a difference and to make a change. I'm going to pray your will be done down here as it is in heaven. And there's no sickness up there, so I'm praying for healing down here. And there's no depression up there, so I'm going to pray for peace down here. And there's no failure up there, so I'm going to pray for victory down here. I'm going to pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what I'm here for. That's my job. That's what I'm supposed to do. And you have empowered me to do that because I am now a child of God. I believe in Jesus and I overcome.
Yeah. Yes. Amen. Amen. That's right.
Or you can just lay down and lose by default.
Yeah.
Just lose by not entering the fray.
Yeah.
Lose by not picking up the word.
Yes.
Lose by not praying. Lose by not trusting. I've done it. How about you? Done it so many times I couldn't count. I mean, I've done it, catch myself in a situation and think, I ain't even prayed about this. Me, your pastor. I've done that. Pray about a lot of things and forget this. Not something to carry on for days, and all of a sudden I realize, you know, I hadn't even done anything about that. It's almost like God saying, son, are you going to do something about that? And I'm thinking, well, God, I wish you'd do something about it. And he said, I did. I gave you my name. I gave you my word. I gave you my Holy Spirit. I gave you my promises.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like that guy, you know, in that flood. You know, he climbed up on his house. The water kept rising. Somebody came by in the boat to pick him up. Says, come on, man, get in the boat. And he said, no, I'm just trusting God. I'm trusting God. I don't need the boat. You just go on down the road. I'm trusting God. I'm not going to die. Before long, another boat comes by, you know, and tells him the same thing. Then a helicopter comes by with a big bullhorn and says, hey, get the rope. And he says, no, I don't need the rope. I'm trusting God. Well, the water kept rising. Finally, he drowned and went to heaven. He said, God, I was trusting you to get me out of that mess. He said, son, I sent two boats and a helicopter by. Why didn't you get in?
That's right. That's right.
Hello. Sometimes we think we're trusting God, but we're not standing on anything. We're not. Are you with me? We're not changing anything we're doing. Hello. We're not doing. He's given us a boat, two boats, and a helicopter right here.
Amen.
And we're not getting in a boat. We're not grabbing a rope. This is the rope. Come on, grab on. Hold on to it, and let's win this deal. Let's don't drown in our affliction. Let's don't drown in our circumstances. Amen. Let's take the rope that God's throwing us a rope here. He's throwing us a lifeline right here. Good stuff. Amen. Better preaching, y'all are amen, but that's okay. Okay, notice what it says here. 13th verse, still reading now. Talking about we got the Son, got life in the Son, and you know we were overcomers because we believe in Jesus. Notice what the 13th verse says. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, do you believe in the name of the Son of God?
Yes.
Okay, that takes us in. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name. Now, who's he talking to?
Saints.
Us? I mean, you believe in the name of the Son of God?
Yes.
Okay, so who's he talking to?
Us.
Okay, all right. Just want to make sure. Just make sure. I'm not making it up. It's right here. Okay, don't take my word for it. You read it. It's right there. These things have I written to you. You who? Who believe in the name of the Son of God. That's pretty good because now he's pinned me. This is me. He's targeted me. There's no question. I can't get out of this one because I believe in the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
I do believe in Jesus. So he wrote this to me. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. And listen to this. That you may know that you have eternal life. Wow. I mean, that's awesome. I'm not waiting to get to heaven. I know I got eternal life. Why? Well, I believe on the name of the Son of God. I call on His name.
That's right.
Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes.
You know, John 1:12 says this. Well, it says, He came into His own received Him not, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, who were born not of the will of flesh or of man or blood, but of God, even to those who believe on His name. Man, that's me. I'm a son of God, child of God. You're a child of God because you believe on this name. And so He wrote these things to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
I know I haven't. I'm not going to get it. I'm not waiting to get it. I already got it.
Amen.
I'm not in heaven, but I have eternal life. I already got eternal life. How do you know that? Because I believe on the name of the Son of God. Where'd you get that from? I just read it. And He wrote this to me so I would know that. But He didn't stop there. I like this. He actually wrote this for two reasons to those who believe on the name of the Son of God. The first reason was that you may know that you have eternal life. The second reason was that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. In other words, I can keep believing on that name. When trouble comes, I can believe on that name. When trials come, I can believe on that name. When temptation comes, I can believe on that name. When tragedy comes, not only do I know I have eternal life, but I know I can continue to believe on that name. When crisis comes, when the enemy comes, when life doesn't deal me a good hand as if it were just chance, thank God it's not, I can stack the deck. You follow me? It's a metaphor. Stay with me. Okay. When the scales are weighted against me, I can tip them in my favor.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? Another metaphor. See? How? I can believe on the name of Jesus.
Right.
I'm not just going to heaven. That's one of the privileges. But I also have the privilege and the right to believe on this name as long as I'm alive. Hallelujah. I can believe on this name and I can overcome the world.
Yes, Lord.
Next verse, 14th verse, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Anybody have a clue what His will is?
His Word.
They're synonymous. God wouldn't say one thing mean another. Although a lot of people have you believe that. But,
yes, sir.
You know, God's not a man He'd lie, nor the Son of Man He'd repent. And when He says something, He means it.
Yeah.
So if He said it, if you can find it in the Word, you can find a promise, or you found His will, and if you pray His will, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Not maybe, never know, not sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes wait a while, not never know what God's going to do. But He says if we know He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we ask of Him. Wow. Man, could it be that that's how we overcome the world? Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah, when the enemy comes, when darkness comes, when depression comes, when the storm starts rolling in, that's when we pray. And when we pray God's Word, we can know with confidence that He will give us what we ask for, because it's one of our rights and one of our privileges in believing in the name of Jesus. I don't know if I can hammer that in enough, and I don't know if I'm emphasizing that enough, but I don't think anybody denies that to believe on Jesus is your ticket to heaven. Not to sound like a used car salesman here, not to demean, belittle, or cheapen the gospel. I'm not saying that. You believe on, you put your trust in Him. You accept Him as your Lord and Savior. You worship Him. You accept what He did 2,000 years ago. And listen, you're going to heaven on your faith in Jesus. And I don't think anybody denies that. But I think we have a problem with the idea that we, because we believe in Jesus, we can overcome. Or because we believe in Jesus, we can have our prayers answered. All of a sudden, that's somehow suspect that we never know what God's going to do after we get saved. Well, thank God I'm going to heaven. If I can just hold on, I may just scratch gravel and get run over, and you know, and I may get beat down, and You know, but I'm here to tell you, if that's what you're believing, that's not what the Scripture says. God says He will help you in the time of trouble. That's one of your privileges and rights of being a Christian, is that you can pray and God will hear you now. And you can pray His Word and have hope and help and healing. And you can get out of that mess you're in. You don't have to stay in that mess. Maybe you thought you're supposed to be run over. Maybe you thought you're supposed to be beat down. Maybe you thought that was your plight, your thorn in the flesh. We often use that, Paul's thorn in the flesh, which had nothing to do with that at all. 2 Corinthians 12 chapter. But maybe you think this is your cross to bear. Your cross to bear is the reproach you bear. Your cross to bear is people thinking you're funny because you accepted Jesus. People persecuting you for your faith. Your cross to bear is not sickness and disease and poverty and depression. No, Jesus healed all that stuff. Your cross is separating yourself from the world. That's the cross you bear, that reproach. Hello. If you've been told that all the trouble you have in life is God's will and just God's putting you through something, I'm telling you, you've been lied to, you've been bamboozled. Hello. There is trouble. I understand that. There is tragedy. I understand it. I've experienced it myself. But God's not behind it. I'm here to tell you, and God's here to tell you, that there's hope in the trial, there's hope in the trouble, there's hope in the tragedy, there's hope in the crisis. If you'll pray and you'll believe God, hallelujah, He'll get you through that, and you can come out smelling like a rose. You can come out ahead. Maybe you suffered loss. Maybe you can't get those things back or those people back, obviously, that have gone on. But you know what? God can give you peace. God can get you back on your feet again. Woo! God can use you again. Yes. Hallelujah. Your life is not over. Yes. Maybe you've lost everything because of sins you committed. I don't know. Maybe you've lost family and friends and home and everything. I don't know. But if you repent and get right with God, God will forgive you of your sin, put you back on your feet. It may take a while, but if you stay on this road, hallelujah, it's a road of victory. Amen. But you're going to have to get out of the victim mode and get on the victory road.
Amen.
Amen. And hey, it's just all part of the package. I'm sorry. It's just you may think, well, it's just for special people. But no, I'm sorry to inform you that God really wants you to win. And not only are you saved because of Jesus, but you can overcome because of Jesus. And you were born to overcome. And He wrote these things to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, one, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And what does that mean? This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. And if we know He hears us, we know we have the petitions that we desired of Him or ask of Him.
Amen. Woo!
We don't have everything, but we have what we ask of Him.
That's good. That's good.
It doesn't just happen, but it does when you ask Him.
Yes.
Woo. Because what is the victory? Our faith.
Yeah.
He just said the same chapter. He just said that. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Man, I stand on that. I have a right to get my prayers answered because I believe on Jesus. I don't have a right to get my prayers answered because I'm so good and because I've been pastoring for 27 years. And I am a little mad about that. You'd think God would just let me have it just because I've been a good guy.
Wow.
Raised my kids right, loved my wife, been faithful. Surely He'd just answer my prayer. No, He answers my prayers when I believe Him.
That's right.
And when I don't believe Him, He doesn't.
That's right. That's good.
So what I need to work on is my trust in God. It's what I need to work on.
Because
it sounds like when I'm getting down and depressed, I'm trusting the problem more than I'm trusting God.
Amen.
When I'm giving up and thinking there's no hope, then I'm putting more faith in what's happening to me than I am to what God said in His Word. I must not have a real good relationship with Him, because if I knew Him very well, I know He wouldn't let me go under. I may be out there eating slop with the pigs, but I can come home and Daddy would be waiting on me, looking down the road, waiting for me to come home.
Praise the Lord.
And that pig slop is just a menu of your own making.
That's true.
Are you with me? We all been there. We all done it, you know. Got away from God. I think it's significant when you look at that prodigal son story. It says he went into a far country. And you know what? He lost everything. The further he got away from his father, the worse his life got.
Amen.
And it got better the closer he got.
Yes.
I believe victory I believe peace. I believe overcoming this world is a matter of proximity. It has to do with closeness.
That's right.
The closer you are to God, the better your life's going to be.
That's good.
Not that God's mean about this thing. It's just that He didn't leave you. You leave Him.
Yeah.
But if you'll come back, He's always there waiting for you to trust Him, believe Him, stand on His Word, use that name. You were born for this. You were born again. You were born for such a time as this. You were born to win. Don't buy the lie that you're supposed to lose. You're not. You're born to win. You're born to make a difference. You're born to change a city. You're born to change the job you work on. You're born to change your world, wherever you are. You're born again to make a difference. But you have to do something, and that's believe Him and trust Him and ask Him and call on Him and believe Him when He says it, that He's going to do it, and have this confidence. Everybody say confidence. Man, see, that's a way to live. That's facing the future with courage, confidence, and faith. That's not facing the future with fear and with confusion and doubt and wondering. Hey, come on out of that world of wondering into the world of knowing. I love that. I was teaching one time on Ephesians and how the Bible says, "Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." And it goes on down and says, "Be not drunk with wine, where's excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking yourselves psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody unto the Lord." And as I was preaching that, I began to prophesy. The Spirit came on me. I said, "Out of darkness into the light, out of wrong teaching into the right, out of stagnant pools and into the flow, out of wonder and into the know." Man. That came by the Spirit when I said that, when I taught that. I just said it by memory then. But that's what happens is we come out of darkness into the light when we come into God's Word and His will and His family. We come out of wrong teaching into the right. Wake up, thou that sleepest. Christ shall give you life.
Yeah.
We come out of stagnant pools and into the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That's good.
And we step out of wondering into the know. I know I'm going to make it. I know it's going to be all right. This is the confidence that I have in Him. And in your spirit, it won't be long. You'll burst forth with brand new song. I think that was the rest of it. Because it says, speaking to yourself, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Don't you discount joy and the power of joy and the power of singing God's Word and singing praises to Him and speaking about Him. I'll tell you what, it'll stir you up. It'll stir you. And we need a stirring and a shaking. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.